This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary. It's time for our Wisdom Watch part of the program, when we talk with leaders in politics, policy, or the arts who are not just smart, but wise. Today, our guest is stage and screen legend Felicia Rashad. She's best known for her portrayal of Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show. But now, her role in the television version of Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun, the classic play about a 1950s black family struggling with the decision to move to a white neighborhood, has won her new fans and an Emmy nomination. Recently, she told Tell Me More's Michelle Martin about what she enjoyed most about her career.
I enjoy working, and I enjoy working with good people.
Let's hear a little bit from your Emmy-nominated performance. Let's just play a short clip. Here it is.
Money is life. I remember a time when freedom used to be life, but now it's money. Have times changed that much?
No, they haven't changed. It's always been about money. We were just never allowed to get close enough to see it.
No, something has changed. In my time, if we could make it to the North without being lynched and still have a shred of dignity too, that was enough. But now here come you and Benita, y'all talking about things that just go right past me. You my children, but sometimes y'all might as well be strangers.
Of course, that's a scene that you're doing with Sean Diddy Combs, the music and fashion entrepreneur. Your character, Lena Younger, originated by Claudia McNeil on Broadway, was also portrayed on television by the late Esther Rolle. When you were thinking about this role, can you tell us some of what went through your mind as you were preparing?
I wanted to understand, experience, and express Lena Younger, the woman, not the figure.
This raises a question for me, though. You know, you're so famous for playing mothers. Do you feel that the woman sometimes gets lost in the mother?
No, not for me. Maybe it's because of my mother. My mother, Vivian Ayers, is a poet, a scholar, a cultural arts programmer. So many wonderful things. Always insisted when we were growing up that the mother is a human being too. The mother has feelings too.
Do you sometimes feel, though, you have to fight to make that clear?
No, I just do it. I don't believe in fighting. There's enough of that going on.
It just, yes, ma'am.
You know, you just do it. You don't come to work with people to fight. You come to work. I just do it.
You know, Raisin in the Sun speaks to a time in history when I think many African Americans felt they still had to fight. I mean, the so-called American dream is just opening up to black people. There are people who were fighting the fact that African Americans wanted access to the opportunities that other people had. A different time now. How do you think that Raisin speaks to the relationships that African Americans and whites have today?
Oh, very poignantly. You see, the point of the entire story, it's not a civil rights play. That was not what Lorraine Hansberry intended. It was mistaken as such because of the time in which it premiered. Her intention was to write a story about three generations of this one family living in small and cramped conditions. And as the story was unfolding, about the father being deceased, expecting insurance money, so many different ideas as to how the money should be used, she's exploring family values. That's really what she was looking at. And the whole point of the story is that money is not life. The whole point of the story is that freedom is life. So today, you see this in the young generation because of messages that are being received. Money is everything. You have to have money and lots of it. And there isn't enough for you. That's a very sad message to send to young developing minds.
It's interesting, though, because Diddy, as an entrepreneur, I mean, of course, many people respect, you know, what he's created. On the other hand, a lot of people identify him with that kind of blinged out, flash is everything generation. You know what I mean? Sort of creating this mentality that if you're not rich, you're nothing. And well, he's such a part of that. So, yeah.
Are they creating that? Or are they responding to something, you know? When I was in school, I was taught by teachers who said, you're going to excel. You're going to excel because you can. because I say so, and because I know your mother. They were not.
I heard that speech.
I think I heard that speech too. Did you hear that speech?
Yes, ma'am.
That's a totally different experience than entering a classroom in which maybe someone has been educated to think these particular students can achieve only this much. Don't expect too much from them. Educated to think that way.
I want to talk more about your work. You won a Tony Award for your portrayal of Lena Younger on Broadway, and you've had the opportunity to play some wonderful roles in contemporary classics by African-American playwrights like The Old Settler, Blues for an Alabama Sky, August Wilson's Gem of the Ocean. Is there a message that you're trying to impart, or kind of an overall message that you're trying to deliver in this body of work?
Oh, I think it's an old message. It's simply that people are much more alike than we could ever be different.
Well, that leads to my next question about your work earlier this year as Big Mama in a Broadway revival of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Now, we talked about this earlier this year with your sister, Debbie Allen, who directed the play. But I think a lot of people were just kind of knocked back on their heels by the idea of this, what a lot of people think is the kind of the classic white Southern experience interpreted by an African-American cast. Can I ask you about that? What was that like to create Big Mama?
Well, thank God I had worked with August Wilson first, because working with an August Wilson text, well, I'll say August Wilson and Shakespeare, sensitizes you to rhythm in speech, cultural rhythms in speech. So when you read a text like Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, you understand that it is written specifically for certain people. So that was the first bit of translation that I had to confront. It's like, how do you perform this and be culturally correct?
Did you think of yourself as white for that role?
Heavens no. I was aware of the difference in cadence of speech, is what I'm saying. And I didn't want to sound like I was mimicking Southern Caucasian speech. That would have been just so wrong. You know, that would have been obtuse. Why bother? Why would you do that? No. I decided I'll do what actors do, what we really do, and that's pay attention to what's happening inside the human being. And then it all worked out. Not a word was changed. We used the text as he wrote it, and everybody got it.
I asked your sister what it was like to direct you, so I want to ask you what it was like to be directed by your sister.
Well, my sister's always telling me what to do anyway. And this time she got paid for it.
Oh, goodness.
No, it was my sister and I have a great relationship, and we're always inspiring and challenging each other in ways that are very significant and very real, and we understand what we're doing. Oh, yeah, we do. We understand what we're doing. So it was really something to see her hold this vision. She read the play every single day for at least 6 months before we went into rehearsal. Every single day she read it. We were trained to do this. This is how we were schooled to approach our work as theater artists. But you see, Deborah's approach isn't just that of a director who was an actor. Deborah was a dancer, is a dancer. So she has this heightened sense of theatricality.
Did it cause you to see her in a different light? I mean, obviously, you've both been successful artists, but working together in this way, on this kind of production, did it cause you to see her in a new light?
I've always known that my sister has tremendous energy. But I didn't know she had that much. She had more energy than even I thought she had. She was relentless in her effort. She was untiring in her work and determined to realize and actualize that vision.
Tell the truth. Did she get on your nerves?
Nah. No. No. And I must say, I liked being around her every day.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Our guest is the award-winning actress, Felicia Rashad. We've talked a little bit about the woman and the mother, and of course, we cannot forget that beloved mother Claire Huxtable.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to play a short clip.
A rule is a rule. You were told not to do something and you did it anyway. I don't ever want to see that happen again.
It won't, Mom.
Cliff, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. See, I think...
I'm sorry, Mom. Sorry.
I know.
See...
And I love you. But you're grounded for a year.
A year?
I'll settle for a week.
Now, you know, as much as people love you, you know that women all over the country hate your guts, because I think I could never be that patient, that fabulous, you know, five kids holding it down like that. Come on, girl, please.
Well, you could if you were scripted. And if the children were scripted, too, it's very easy when you're scripted.
Oh.
But try doing that with your own.
Thank you. What was that like? Was that fun? Was it as fun as it seems?
It was wonderful because we were working with a master. We were working with the one who knew.
You're talking about Bill Cosby?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we were working with others who knew, too. We were working with great director Jay Sandrich. We were working with Marcy Carsey and Tom Werner. But it was Bill's sensibilities that made it what it was.
You know, in recent years, he's become a very controversial figure. And I think in some ways, a polarizing figure. For some people think that his sort of critiques of the African-American community have been expressed rather harshly and so forth. I'm just wondering, what's your take on that as somebody who worked so closely with him for all those years?
I don't think they should be viewed as critiques. I think they should be viewed as encouragement, an invitation, strong encouragement, an invitation to do what is natural. To do what is right. I think this assessment is a little left field, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I found it very interesting. You know, once I saw on C-SPAN, I saw this panel of people having a great discussion about whether or not Mr. Cosby was right. And I found that very interesting, that so much time would be devoted to a panel of people sitting there discussing whether or not he was right. And one of the panelists raised up a little pamphlet that she had written and said, "And this is my new book." I said, "Okay, I've got it now." People are promoting themselves. Meanwhile, he's always doing something wonderful and great for people that is never broadcast.
I'm not sure that that's true. I mean, his support for the historically black colleges, his financial support, his emotional support, I think is very well known. His travels around the country, holding community meetings, I think that those have been very well broadcast.
They have not. Many people don't even know about those things. You know about it. Many people do not know how many aging and ailing musicians he has helped. I worked with him for almost 10 years, and I didn't know he had sponsored so many people in college until the Kennedy Center Awards, when I was asked to come out and speak about him. And there were all of these Bill Cosby scholars, and I mean varied, not just one ethnicity, varied. No, this man has done a lot for humanity.
Well, his passion for education, he certainly made clear over many, many years. And just before we leave the whole Cosby Show question, I did want to ask you about that. At the time, there was some talk about whether this middle-class African-American family was realistic, whether it acknowledged the issues that were confronting African-Americans realistically at that time. And I have to say, we still, in this program, we struggle with that, because on the one hand, if you showcase sort of achievers, people think, what are you saying? But if you focus on problems and issues, people say, you know, are you focusing on the negative? And I'm just wondering how did you sort that out at the time when you were working on the program? Because I know you must have, You must have heard it. So
I would receive those questions. Well, I would look at the people who asked such a question. I would have to look askance at them. And then I realized, these people don't know. They just don't know. And not only that, I had to point out to somebody, listen, this way of living was not an invention of the 80s. Go back and do a little research, you know. Go back and look and see how people lived in the 1800s. Go back and see for yourself. Everybody didn't jump out of a window when the stock market crashed, because there were people who owned the land that grew the food they ate. And education was always highly valued among such people. go back and do a little research. Go back and do a little work before you make such statements. My goodness, that's such a myopic view of descendants of Africans in this country. I grew up in such a community, and it was not a rarity, okay? People need to go back and read some issues of Ebony magazine. Mm-hmm. That is your greatest resource of history, contemporary history, among descendants of Africans in this country.
Finally, do you have any other wisdom to share, especially for a younger you or others who may be listening?
Oh, you know, when you were giving this introduction about wisdom and everything, I thought, my gosh, she's going to be talking to me.
Alan Simpson said the same thing, so I don't know what that means. But
yes. You know, life is a lot simpler than we let it be. And if you have confusion about that statement, take some time to be in nature every day. Take some time to observe a sunset or a sunrise. Take some time to observe the change in seasons. Just take some time to listen to what's happening in the air as you walk through a park. If you don't live near nature, go to where nature is and understand yourself to be an integral part of it. It's a beautiful thing.
And so are you. Tony Award-winning actress Felicia Rashad has been nominated for an Emmy Award for her performance in A Raisin in the Sun. She was kind enough to join us from NPR's New York Bureau. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And the Emmy Awards will be presented September 21st in Los Angeles. That's our program for today. I'm Lynn Neary, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.